Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you join the show on a Thursday morning here in Philadelphia. And I want to say a good morning, Hugh, but it obviously is a tough one as the Phillies go down last night to the New York Mets, out in four, one of the most disappointing playoff series in recent memory. And really, I think one of the most in Phillies playoff history. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philly. Did y'all know that iguana meat is considered an aphrodisiac in some parts?
Sometimes you need a little comic relief to make you feel better.
No, I'm saying I was, you know, me went down a rabbit hole last night and was watching the Salty Cracker guy. He's the guy in Louisiana. Mm. And they were talking about how iguana meat is an aphrodisiac. And it kind of helps with, you know, certain things.
Yeah. I didn't know that, if you're asking me. Yeah, no, I didn't know that. You know what else I didn't know? I didn't know a lineup that you spent $1 billion on could stink this much.
$1 billion lineup.
My goodness. Phillies go down last night 4-1. I give tremendous credit to Ranger Suarez for gutting through what he got through early in that game. He gave them life. He gave them a chance to win that baseball game. And they failed. And
gave you four innings, too.
He did. The Phillies failed. I mean, this is one of the biggest disappointments in Phillies history, to have this team, to have this group, to have the start of the season they had. They were 45-19. They were on pace for 114 wins. And they fooled me. They fooled a lot of us. I thought they were better than this. And then the second half of the season came, Hugh, and they showed us that they were leaking oil. And it was like, oh, maybe they'll turn the switch back on. And they never did. And they got beat by a Mets team that played the game better than they did. A Mets team that played and had better at-bats, that had better pitching plan, that had a better bullpen in this series, had an actual $300 million shortstop that knows how to have a big moment in the big moment and hit the ball. It's such a disappointing ending, Hugh, to what was supposed to be a special season. And this group now is at a crossroads. 2022 in the World Series. 2023 up 3-2 in the NLCS, up 2-0 in the NLCS, and they blow that. And then, Hugh, they go and they lose in the first round here in the division series to New York Mets. Hugh, there's a lot of blame to go around, but I just keep coming back to this. In this series, the Phillies hit 186. They scored 12 runs in four games. You can't win like that. You just can't win. Their starting pitching in this series only allowed 6 earned runs between Wheeler, Sanchez, Nola, and Suarez. They weren't perfect, especially the last couple games. They weren't perfect at all. A lot of base runners on. But, Hugh, they lost this series because their big hitters were terrible. The only guys that showed up for the majority of the series were Harper and Castellanos. That's it. Schwarber had a nice moment in game one when a home run started off. Stott had a nice moment in game two. The rest of them stunk. Real Muto, 0 was his batting average. 0. And Trey Turner, I don't know how if you're a Trey Turner defender, I don't know how you sleep at night. Because this guy's not worth half the money they paid him. Hugh, an enormous disappointment, and I put it on the offense. What are you feeling this morning?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, you talk about what Ranger was able to do. The fact that he came out there and he gave you four innings with a tidy back or whatever he was going through. He found a way to work himself out of some tight jams. He was in some jams early.
Yep.
No question about that. He was in a way early in this matchup, and he found a way to work it out. And only thing I think of, you went up one run and couldn't do anything else. Couldn't tack on anything else. That's the tale of the story to me. You got pretty decent pitching throughout this whole four-game series. You got pretty decent pitching.
Mm-hmm. Well, the starting pitching, the bullpen struggled.
Yeah, the bullpen. But it's one of those things where you didn't take advantage of the situation when it was presented to you. And that's the thing that stinks, man. The thing that I think of when you talk about the regression, because that's what it is. You talk about going to the World Series the first time you went, and then you get to the NL, what's the DS?
CS,
the Championship Series. And then you lose in the NLDS.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where you can't feel good about where this team is right now. And you can't honestly say that I don't think you can run it back the way it's presently constructed.
I agree with you on that. 215-592-9494. Today's a day. Look, WIP, there's two separate things that I always think WIP is here for. When times are great and we get to celebrate together, when there's a championship or a run, like we've had, you know, some of those in recent years with the Eagles being in two Super Bowls, winning one, the Phillies in a World Series of 22. It's also for a day like this because we got to do this together. We got to get through it together, lament together on the tough moments. And the part that's the most disappointing for me is I believe they deserved to lose. 2 years ago, I was proud of that team in the World Series because they went up against a juggernaut Astros team. I didn't think they were good enough to beat them, but they they pushed them to the brink, and they got that series to six games. They really made this city proud 2 years ago. And then last year, I thought they choked at the end. This year, they just flat deserved to lose. The Mets were better than them for four games. Other than one run at the end of game two, the Mets were better almost the entire time. And Hugh, what really struck me is the way the Mets played the game is how I remember the Phillies playing the game 2 years ago. They at-bats the Mets, they put pressure on every single inning. And Rangers did a good job early, as you said, Hugh, getting out of it. But the Mets put the bat on the ball. They didn't strike out a million times. They moved runners. They got runners in from third base. They played the game the right way, and we did not. This team has issues, and it's so disappointing because they wasted some big-time starting pitching, especially the series really was – game one was the tell. Like, when they lost that Wheeler start because they couldn't score, that was really the life the Mets needed, you.
Yeah, man, and it's one of those things where – you look at the way the team fight. They had some fight in them down the end, but the bottom line is, Joe, they couldn't score runs.
No,
and you know, not to. There were certain things that happened during the course of this game where you can't come undone. You can't come unraveled. And Alec Bohm seemed like he came unraveled a couple times, especially when he was on base, when he was arguing with the umpire and everything, and almost got picked throughout the game. You can't do that. You got to keep your composure at all times.
The three biggest culprits, number one was the offense. That's by far number one. They just didn't hit enough. They didn't score enough in the postseason. Their 6-9 hitters in the series hit 0-93. It's the lowest ever for a series in the MLB playoffs for 6-9 hitters, and that includes when the pitcher used to hit. I mean, that's almost impossible to hit that bad. That's the number one culprit. Number two was the bullpen. Hugh, you mentioned that's where their struggles were in the pitching. It was Hoffman last night. It was Estevez. They couldn't get outs. They couldn't strand runners. The bullpen, which was a strength this year, really stunk in this series. They had trouble in the series. And the third part of blame I will give is Rob Thompson, not so much in this series. I don't think the decisions from Saturday through last night were really that egregious. I do think, though, you go back to the season, it seemed like they took their foot off the gas, Hugh, in the second half of the season. And from the manager through the players, and I'll say the front office too. And then they tried to rev it up again, right? They tried to, like, hey, let's flip that switch. It's the playoffs. It's hard to do that. It's hard. It's hard to do.
And you know what? And to that point, that's kind of what JT Realmuto said. He said it in the press conference that, you know, they felt that they could turn it back on when the playoffs started. Why would you think that? Like, seriously, I'm not trying to pick him because I think he's a good dude, but I would ask him, what world do you live in where you think that's acceptable or that can happen, especially knowing what you know about playoff baseball? I mean, this is the third time you've been in the playoffs. First time you came up short. Last year, you know what happened when you played against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yep.
And you came back home and you thought you had that one won. You can't go into a game thinking that way. And it just surprised me to hear a veteran guy say that the way that he said it. Because you can't take anything for granted. Just like, you know, the Mets got hot. And they're riding that roller coaster from the time that they left London until now. And you know what? I'm about to say something that might hurt some people's feelings. They might ride it all the way to the World Series. The way that they're playing, they might ride that all the way to the World Series.
Well, you know what? They'll earn it if they just like the Phillies 2 years ago. That's the way the Phillies played it 2 years ago. They earned it and they got all the way. And yeah, the Mets could win the whole thing the way they're playing right now. 215-592-9494. Who do you place the most blame? Your feelings this morning as the Phillies get knocked out in four. Kyle, where are you at this morning? You were on top of this from the beginning of the series. You were worried about this series. And then to the end, you thought it was over yesterday. How you feel today?
So I had a bad feeling going in. That doesn't make this any less brutal or like give me any better feeling going out, just because it makes me feel worse, because now knowing what I know, the team going into that series felt how I felt, that they were a dead team walking. If you hear from JT and Trey Turner, all those guys, which we'll do in coming up, they knew that they didn't have it going in, and the Mets did. Like, they knew. They were talking about hoping and you know, like, there's so many things that bother me about the series, that game. Topper could have been better. You know, leaving Hoffman in, all that stuff. The bullpen just totally folding when it mattered the most. And I get that he let up the grand slam yesterday, Hoffman.
Well, Estevez,
Estevez. But Hoffman is to blame for loading the bases, and that's on Topper, all that stuff. I got a crazy, wild idea for the Phillies, though. If they ever come up in that situation again.
What's that?
Maybe have a five spot on the board. Score five runs. So that a grand slam doesn't... I mean, when they hit that grand slam, it was only the sixth inning. We all knew it was over.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. When you saw that Salamini hit, you was like, yes.
It felt the same way as when Alvarez hit just a three-run bomb. We were down two runs in that game in the World Series, and we're like, that's it. There's no reason we should go into any series or any game with no confidence at all that this offense can even... Like, they didn't even put pressure on the Mets. They weren't getting guys on third base. They weren't loading... The Mets loaded the bases just about every single inning. This offense was feeble. I mean, it was disgusting. And that's where this team's money's invested. That's what I'm most sickened by today.
And they should be embarrassed. It's one thing if the Mets had... You know, Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox. They don't. I mean, seriously, guys. I mean, Jose Quintana yesterday is a 36-year-old journeyman. Like, the Phillies' offense and those hitters should be embarrassed as they go into the offseason. 215-592-9494. All your phone calls coming up. Your reaction to the Phillies going out in four. We'll hear from Trey. We'll hear from JT. We'll hear from Topper next and you. 215-592-9494. As we say goodbye to the 2024 Philly season right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
My sense in the clubhouse was that they never lost their edge. They may have gotten tired over the course of the year, but everybody does. The thing that we did do during the middle part of the year, you know, we had some injuries and guys stepped up, and that's when we took off. But then we fell off a little bit in the middle there. But I don't categorize that as losing their edge. I don't think those guys did.
And the voice of Topper as the Phillies, if they didn't lose their edge, they lost themselves because this baseball team was not the same after June. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. So you heard from Topper there. He said they didn't lose their edge, Hugh. I don't know what it was, but they weren't the same baseball team. I mean, their record in the middle of June was 45-19. They were on pace to be one of the great teams of all time. And they were 500 from June 9th, 10th, whatever that second game was in London against the Mets through last night, a 500 baseball team for a long time. Let's hear from JT Realmuto because this was a troubling thought he had yesterday, what he shared with us based on how he felt and how the team felt heading into the series.
Well, it's baseball, man. I mean, it's just a hard game. It's hard to stay hot for 162 games. And we were just hoping that, you know, we knew we weren't playing our best baseball coming in the postseason, but we were hoping once the lights turn on, we'd flip the switch and our offense would get back going, and it just didn't happen for us.
You know, that frustrates me.
Yeah, you can't say that.
No, you can't say it. And also, I feel like it's an excuse these teams make when they lose. Well, it's baseball. You know, it's a short series. How about play better? How about have better at-bats and give yourself a better chance?
Especially when you see the other team that has been pretty hot, like I said, since London.
Yeah.
Since London, they've been pretty hot and they've been pretty focused. It's just kind of amazing. I don't know what happened, but it just seems like around this time of the year, for whatever reason, our bats are MIA. MIA in the playoffs. And you have to try to fix that. I don't know how you fix that. And it's one of those things where it's progressively gotten worse. When you look at where they were when we started this journey, made it all the way to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, you've fallen a little bit shorter than the year before. So it's one of those things where something has to give. Something has to change. And I don't know exactly what that is, but the way that this team is presently constructed, you can't move forward and expect different results.
I agree with that. I think the DNA of the team has gotten worse. They may have gotten bigger name players and quote-unquote better players, but every time I see a highlight from 2022, I see Rhys Hoskins grinding an at-bat, Gene Segura dumping a single into right field. They played like the Mets then. They put the bat on the ball. They grinded at bats. These guys make it easy on the opposing.
It was pretty easy.
They seem like they're confused. It's pretty obvious what happens. They're over-aggressive at the plate. They don't have enough guys that grind at bats, and they make it easy. I mean, Quintana's throwing pitches outside the strike zone, and Trey's swinging. Schwarber's swinging last night. They have like three guys I feel like grind at bats. Schwarber and Stott and Harper. And they struggle sometimes. I'm not saying those guys are perfect, but at least I think they grind at bats. The rest of them, they don't.
The comments like that, that one from JT, and then the one from after game two about how they were tight going in, that's the stuff. And even Topper there, like that talk about them being tired and losing their edge and stuff. Like, that's where I start to look at the manager. What was this team's mindset in the second half of the year thinking, oh, we can just coast, win 95 games, win the division, get the bye, have a series at home, and then hope. Oh, you know, we're just hoping we're going to flip a switch. Like, that was their strategy? Hope?
And I think back to some of those games where Topper showed no urgency, and it was like, well, they're up 6 or 7 or 8 in their division, but it obviously seeped into the clubhouse. That's
the mentality, is that, oh, this will be fine. You know, they'll slug eventually. That's what Topper always says. Like, was that what this team was thinking going in? Oh, you know, eventually we'll slug.
Well, if that's the mentality, they're not going to win a World Series.
Of course not.
No, it's just not going to happen. Let's go to the phone lines here, and then we'll hear from Trey what he said about why they struggled so much offensively. Dustin in the Northeast. Hey, Dustin.
Ah, Joe G.
What's up, man?
Dustin, what's up, buddy? What are you feeling this morning?
Piss poor performance out of this team last night and the entire playoffs, man. Hey, yeah, Hog, how many gummies do you think were consumed in the Delaware Valley last night?
Oh, last night, a few people. Just to keep their sanity.
Just to get
some rest, yeah. Just to get some rest, to quiet their mind down a little bit. I would imagine quite a few.
Are yours still kicked in right now? Because you made a comment a couple minutes ago. The only way I could think of it is your mentality isn't in the right spot because of a couple of gummies. You good right now?
Wait a minute. What did I say? You talking about the iguanas?
You said that you saw some fight in them guys last night. Dude, they looked like a friggin' pack of dogs with their tails between their legs. That was such a... My daughter is on a 10-year-old travel softball, and these girls don't know how to swing, and they're taking pitches way better than this team was last night. That was such a bad performance. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So when you said that you saw some fight in them, I'm like, you totally threw me off. Now I feel like I'm the one eating gummies.
Well, I feel like Ranger. You don't feel like Ranger fought? Ranger fought last night. When you talk about the tidy back and everything, I thought he fought a little bit.
But how about this one? You have arguably probably the best closer in baseball right now, and he comes up and he walks your first two batters. You're in the meat and gravy of your lineup, and then you can't produce one run. You can't. There were so many times where Joe, you were talking about it. They're swinging. I'm sitting there watching the game with my dad. The only person that's not swinging at first pitches was Bryson Stott. Every single one of them was swinging at stupid pitches. And then you have your $300 million half a smack, you know what, playing shortstop, coming out and saying, oh, well, we know we're not supposed to be swinging at it, but we're swinging. You're an idiot, dude. You're an absolute moron for even coming out and saying that, because you're making not only yourself look like a jackass, you're making the whole team look like that. Because now they look like they're swinging like Castellanos halfway through the season when he was in his home. It's the whole team's doing it besides Castellanos and Harper.
It is. It permeated through the whole lineup. Dustin, appreciate it. Let's hear that from Trey Turner. Trey, after the game, about the offense. I'm not even sure what he's even trying to get at here. It just annoyed me when I heard this.
I personally think we get ourselves out. I don't think it matters who's on the mound. I know I feel that way personally, and I would think a lot of guys in this room feel that way as well. You know, hitting's very tough, and it's, you know, easy to sit in the dugout and say, don't swing at this pitch, or, you know, do this or do that. And, you know, we say it all the time. It's so easy from over here when we're in the dugout and someone else is hitting, we say it. But when you're in the box and you're competing and there's a guy, you know, on the other side throwing 95 miles an hour and got all sorts of things going on, it's easy to say, do this or do that. But when you're in the box, you got to make a decision in how you're going to compete, and I think we want to compete. I think we have a great lineup and great offensive players, and I think we get ourselves out.
That bothered me so much because he acts like they're in total control of it, and then they just don't do it. Well, then stop doing it if you're in total control of it. Also, giving no credit to the other side, they're taking advantage of your obvious weakness. They're throwing you slop, and you're swinging at it. I looked up Trey Turner's numbers this morning since the All-Star break. You remember when he started the All-Star game? He was an All-Star this year, right? He was hitting .349 at the All-Star break. If you look at Trey's numbers since then, including this playoff series, he hit .245 with a .286 on base percentage and a .390 slugging. His numbers since the All-Star break, Hugh, are almost exactly the same they were when the ovation happened. We just didn't realize how bad he's been because his beginning of the year numbers were so good. Mm-hmm. It kind of made the whole thing look okay. But he, since the middle of July, Trey has played like he played when we had to give him a standing ovation to get him going last year. Like, this guy, for large, large portions of his 2 years here, has been awful. I feel like he has like two or three week stretches of excellence.
I was about to say that.
That's what he is.
It's like it's some with that performance that you're talking about. There's some good stuff sprinkled in, but it's too few and far between.
Yes.
But it's good enough for you not to really notice. It goes unnoticed because of everybody else in the lineup. And I think while you're playing around that time, that's when Castellanos was starting to take off a little bit. So that's probably why I was overshadowed a little bit.
It was, yeah. And Bryce struggled, and the whole team was struggling. And we didn't, you know, last year he was new here, and it was the beginning of his season. And it was like we looked at the numbers every day, like, oh my goodness gracious. And it became a whole thing. Well, you know, it's 2 years now. It's 2 years of this player. He was supposed to be the missing piece. And I know it's not all on him. Bohm stunk, and Harper wasn't good enough last night.
There's enough blame to go around.
Schwarber, the whole offense. But I just. He's the two-hitter in this lineup. It's just the whole thing is ridiculous. 215-592-9494. Your reaction as the Phillies go down in four. Well, you know, of all the outcomes this season, out in four in the NLDS.
That feels bad.
It does. You know, if they had lost to the Dodgers or Padres next round in a seven-game series, you could have almost said, what are you going to do? If they got to the World Series and lost to the Yankees or whatever, you might have said, disappointing, but they got back again. This just feels rotten to lose in the first round to the Mets. Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Hugh. What's going on?
What's up, Chuck? Man?
Let me say this real quick, right? I want to preface by saying this. This is the time I miss Angelo Cataldi because I need anger right now. I need to listen to rage right now. You know what I mean? Because this is ridiculous. This was just underwhelming. You know, an underwhelming performance. And let me just get a second to say this, right? You know, the minute we went up 1-0, we took the lead 1-0. I would have had Zach Wheeler ass in that game. I would have had him warming up, and I would have had him in that game because I know points come at a luxury right now. We can't score points. You know what I mean? So it just was a terrible situation to me to sit there and save Zach Wheeler for an imaginary game five that never even happened. And then Trey Turner. I don't like that guy. I just don't like that guy. I can't relate to a guy like him because this guy is like a woe is me. He don't have the attitude. This is not there. He doesn't have a winning attitude to me. You know what I mean? And you come out and say that after a loss like that? Like, I'm done with these guys. I mean, Rob Thompson did not help this team a little bit. Not a little bit. I mean, you left Jeff Hoffman in there for God's sake. You left him in there to die. You know this guy, you know, the moment was too big for him. Like I said, why wouldn't you go to Wills at that point? You know, if you want to take Ranger out, why wouldn't you go to Wills? And you're already at the fifth or sixth inning. Wills could have pitched you all the way through, and I guarantee you the Mets wouldn't have hit him. I mean, am I wrong for thinking that?
Well, so here, I don't think you're wrong for thinking he should have got Hoffman out of the game, Chuck. Hoffman was out there.
What are we going to do Friday night?
Well, there is no Friday night.
No, I'm saying,
when that time come there, Hugh, I mean, I'll just get you the Friday. We're not even at Friday now.
Yeah, you're right.
Chuck, I the point I totally agree with you on is Topper didn't do anything to help. But Chuck, we always appreciate it, and I appreciate your frustration right now. I don't think Topper lost the series. It's very hard to point to moves Topper made that like really helped them win. All the buttons he pushed seemed to not work in the bullpen. Are they his fault? Probably not. What are you supposed to do if the guy you count on all year stinks it up in the postseason in a small series? That hurts. I feel similar on Topper now that in this particular moment last night than I did in the World Series Game 6 when Alvarez hit the home run off of Alvarado. If your team's not scoring, you are asking the manager to have a high wire act for 9 innings. Ranger Suarez gave you 4 innings, right? He was dancing in and out of trouble.
Yeah.
Now, a couple things here. Hoffman may have been tired because he was up like 3 times early in the game because he thought he had to go to him and then Ranger got out. So there's that. There was that long inning before. Where Hoffman came in, got an out, then he had to sit, then he went back in the game. That might have thrown him off. Could he have had someone else ready? He could have. Mm-hmm. But he put Estevez in, and what did Estevez do? Give a grand slam. It wasn't like the next
grand
guy
salami.
Dominated, and you're like, if you got Hoffman out earlier, I just...
You can't blame me for that. The bottom line is this.
They didn't hit.
When Ranger's dancing out there, and he's getting in and out of trouble, you got to put runs on the board.
Of course you do.
You got to put runs on the board.
There's also an assumption, and Chuck just had this assumption, that Zach Wheeler on 3 days rest would have been the same Zach Wheeler as we saw Saturday.
I don't think so.
Probably not, right? He may have been a diminished version of Zach Wheeler. Now, would he have been better than Hoffman and Esteves? Probably, but it's not like you're... I don't think you would have gotten the best out of Zach Wheeler.
Nah.
Maybe he could have gotten Christopher Sanchez in the game there for the clean inning in the sixth, maybe. But do we really think that we're going to shut the Mets out for the entire game, no matter what the pitching
plan
was? Not
the way they were knocking on the door. Not the way that they came out swinging. Nah. That wasn't the case.
Every single inning, when we're done pitching, we're walking off the mound, you're saying to yourself, wow, like we really got away with one there.
Yep, everyone.
Time to put some runs on the board. And that rinse and repeat for every single inning in that game. The offense is a disgrace.
So I'm sure there's people out there that do not like Rob Thompson. And probably some people out there who want him gone today. But if Rob Thompson leaves today and they have a new manager in there, guess the problem still doesn't go away. They don't hit enough.
No, that's the bottom line. And especially in situations where you need to hit. That game seemed like it was one zip forever. And the Mets were threatening forever. And every time you got up, you didn't do anything to try to distance yourself from that. You know, what was it, 4-1 or something like 4-1. That? Come on, man. That's a feeble way of losing. That is a feeble way of losing. That's the bottom line. Your big dogs didn't do it. They didn't do enough for you. The guys that you depended on, they didn't do enough for you.
Yeah, the saddest part is the deterioration of how we feel about this team as the 3 years have gone on. I think for the most part, I was on right after they lost the World Series that Saturday night in Houston 2 years ago. And then I if my memory serves, I was on this time slot. I was filling in for John in with Joe the Monday after they lost the World Series. And it was disappointing. And it was frustrating, and it was sad because that run was so much fun. But, Hugh, I remember a lot of people 2 years ago were proud of that team. Right? They got to Game 6 of the World Series. They lost to a mighty Astros team. No one's proud today of the 2024 Phillies, and that's a darn shame considering how this season started. Russ is up next on WIP. What's up, Russ?
Fellas.
Russ.
It's a rough one.
What are you feeling? What are we feeling?
I have 3 pages of notes on what I'm feeling, but I will personally drive Rob Thompson, and I'll pick up Nick Sirianni on the way to the airport if you want to drop him off. I'm volunteering right now because, I mean, and I agree with Kyle on 90% of the stuff, but the one thing where I disagree is, much like Nick Sirianni, we look at the roster and we feel like they're underperforming. They should be doing more and you should be getting more out of them. I understand two different animals, baseball and football, but it's the same thing. This is the Phillies team that played the back half after the All-Star. This is the same Mets team that played the back half of the All-Star. One team looked like they really wanted it. The other team just showed up because they were contractually obligated. So I don't know what I was seeing out there, but we were lucky with Ranger, but I thought it was all hands on deck. So why send Jeff Hoffman out after you know he's been up a few times? By the way, another bad job by FS1 not covering the bullpen, showing anything. Is somebody up? Is somebody not up?
It was terrible. But, Russ, I mean, I am blown away by how bad the coverage has been on FS1. Like, those guys stink, but that's the one silver lining. We're done watching them for now, at least.
Oh, absolutely. And Adam Armin pumping in the fake excitement was terrible, too. But regardless, I mean, in the sixth inning, there's a thing with walking guys to lead off an inning. Everybody knows it's bad. It's one thing if you're nibbling and you're missing the strike zone or the umpire's got a liberal strike zone. He was bouncing balls 2 feet in front of the plate. Can we get a mound visit so we can get somebody up? Can we get Kirkring out there in a fresh situation? Rob Thompson could have did things in the whole back half of the year to agitate the team, switch the lineup up, try to get something going because nothing was going good anyway, and he didn't. And yesterday I just felt like, as somebody who grew up, I'm 50 years old, as somebody who grew up watched where National League managers had to make a decision if a pitcher was going well but he was coming up in the batting order, you pull him, you keep him, what are you doing, you bunting. It seems easier now, and he's just not pushing the right buttons. How do you give up on Alvarado without knowing the stuff that he has and just say, oh, we're going to forget him, and keep rolling Taiwan Walker out there all year? Like, his decision-making since the All-Star game, which my wife has been watching this year, I told her, I said, this guy's going to cost them a World Series because they have too much talent to underproduce like this.
Well, you know, I don't know if he cost him a World Series, but he didn't help enough. I'll agree with you there, Russ. He didn't help enough. He could have got Hoffman out. We appreciate the phone call. He could have got Hoffman out of the game. The problem is they still didn't hit beyond that.
I mean, that's the only thing. I understand, and he's not the only one that's blaming the pitching this morning. But I'm stuck on the fact that we sat here all day yesterday and we talked about what was the line for Ranger, three and a half strikeouts or something like that?
Yeah, it was.
I think he beat that, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he had eight.
That's what I'm saying.
He
beat that, right?
Yeah.
So he overachieved in a situation where nobody thought he was going to do. He overachieved in that moment.
And there were two bad defensive plays by Bohm. He had to get extra outs. If Bohm played third base better, maybe he would have been out of those innings quicker. He would have had less pitches at that point. He walked some guys, too. But I loved how Ranger pitched yesterday.
And I know for a lot of people, this is something that has been building over the whole season.
Right.
And I respect that. The diehard baseball fans, I respect that. I live in the moment. And in that moment, Ranger gave you everything that he had, and he overachieved, and you only gave him one run.
Only gave him one run. And then the other thing, look, we're hyper-focused right now on what happened in these four games. And did Tupper do a great job? I don't think he did. I don't think he did a fireable offense kind of job. The offense sunk. But the body, you know, we also, sometimes we focus on the small thing and we forget the big thing. Dave Dombrowski is in charge of building the roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
The trade deadline for Dave Dombrowski this year was Tanner Banks, Carlos Estevez, and Austin Hayes. It's hard to have a worse deadline considering how those guys played down the stretch. Banks was a non-factor. Hayes was so bad after getting sick, unfortunately, that they had to put Weston Wilson in last night. And, you know, we were harping on Hopper leaving Hoffman in. He eventually went to Estevez, right? He put Estevez in to face the Mets' best player. And what happened? Grand slam.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dave Dombrowski's big trade deadline acquisition. You know, he could strike him out. That's allowed. You know, Topper did make the move to go put Estevez in. Estevez could get a strikeout. Instead, he allows, you know, Lindor to take him out to right center. That ball's still flying. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll talk to Rhea at 11. Your calls all show here. Let's let it all out. Let's air it out. Let it all out. What's the most to blame? What part of this team is the most to blame? Topper, the offense, the bullpen, which really was poor in this series. More audio from Rob Thompson after the loss. That's next. Your phone calls as we say goodbye to the 2024 Phillies way earlier than most of us thought. It is October 10th, and this run is over. So disappointing. One of the biggest disappointments in Phillies history. 215-592-9494. That's a Hot Sports Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Guys, myself and a lot of people, you know, hair thins over the years. It happens. And for a lot of people, it's devastating. It could be really one of those things where you have to deal with it and accept it. But you know what? You could also get some hope. Dr. Ruffy, he's my friend. I visited him. He gives people hope every day. Everyone loses hair as they age, and hair loss won't stop until we stop it. And I'm not talking about those over-the-counter shampoos, supplements, none of that. If you use them, you know they're not a permanent answer. Looks matter. So if you're newly single, have a wedding or job interview coming up, trying to land more clients, or just want to look the way you remember, you don't need to suffer anymore because Dr. Ruffy and his team at Precision Hair Restoration will personally perform the most natural-looking hair restoration using cutting-edge, artist, robotic, or Neograph FUE technology, or the non-surgical Almatet. Call Dr. Ruffy now, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100 and get your confidence back. Or visit PhillyHairMD.com. That's PhillyHairMD.com.
The returns are diminishing?
No, I don't think so at all. You know, like I said earlier, I don't like losing series, and I want to win a World Series, but anything can happen in a short series. And, you know, they pitched our offense really well, and they got to our bullpen. So, but I don't see us going backwards now.
The voice of Rob Thompson last night. I don't love that answer. I mean, yeah, you know what the reality is with the way the baseball playoffs are set up? Nobody cares about the regular season. It really doesn't matter. Baseball is closer to hockey than it is basketball or the NFL, where the regular season is kind of, you know, predictive of what's going to happen in the postseason. It's not like that in baseball, Hugh. I know they've won more games the last few years in the regular season, but they can't run from this. They're going the wrong way when the games really matter in the playoffs. It feels like my sense from the Phillies last night is a collective, what are you going to do? It's random. Well, no, that doesn't work for anybody.
No, it's the definite definition of insanity, because we ran it back. We ran it back because we felt like we had the guys. You know, you added a few pieces, a few, you know, cosmetic pieces, you know, that you thought were going to help you in the postseason. And it didn't work out that way. I don't see how you can move forward and think that, and it's tough. It's going to be tough to moving forward thinking that this is the group. it's going to be tough. And I'm not sitting here saying that everybody needs to be fired. But when you're making changes like this, you have to look at some of the guys that you have and feel like he might not be a great fit for what we're trying to do.
You know what I wanted to hear last night? Incredibly disappointing. We failed. I can't wait to get to spring training. I don't want to hear, well, it's a short series. They pitched us well. What are you going to do? We get ourselves out.
If that's the case, nobody, this fan base isn't trying to hear that in that moment, because it's eerily similar to what it has been in the past. And that's the problem. I think that's where for professional athletes, that's where they get a little defensive, because I feel like that's a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. Because no matter how many times you try to explain that to somebody, hell, I know it's hard to hit a baseball, and I guarantee you that most of the people that are watching baseball and have played a little bit of baseball know exactly what you're talking about. But in that moment, that's not what you fall back on, because nobody wants to hear that, because guess what? You're getting paid way too much money for that to be your fallback. You can't do it. Even though it might be true, you can't say that. Not in that moment, because nobody's trying to hear that.
No, no one is.
Not in this economy.
No, 215-592-9494. They should be ashamed of themselves the way they went to the plate in this series. They should be ashamed. Like, who had a good approach in this series? What I will blame Topper for is the mentality that he seemed to let them have down the stretch of the season. Ah, whatever, we'll get him tomorrow. You can't do that in the playoffs. We got ourselves out stuff. It's a short series. They pitched us well. Almost like I'm getting a shrug of the shoulders from the Phillies. You can't have it both ways. You can't say World Series or bust, and then when it busts, say, what are you going to do? No, you failed. This team failed. They were built to win the World Series. They talked about it. Before we did, they did. Spring training, it's all they talked about is winning the World Series. And they failed. They're one of the biggest failures in Phillies history. And unlike the team, I wasn't around for the 70s teams that struggled to get over the hump, then eventually did. I wasn't alive for that. But I know the 08, the 07 to 11 group went through something like this. But you know what they did before that, Hugh? They won the World Series. Then, after 08, they started to go backwards. This team skipped the most important part. They're going the wrong way, and they didn't even win a title yet. It's like, at least that team, when they lost the World Series in 09, they lost the LCS in 10. They got knocked out in the first round in 11. At least they had given the city a championship. So there was a sense of this
at
stinks,
least we got one.
But they got one. Howard and Rollins and Utley gave the city a title. These guys, it's fallen on deaf ears when they talk. They provided one magical run a couple years ago, but since then, they are going the wrong way.
Somebody said something to me that really resonated. I don't know if it's the truth or not, but it holds a little bit of weight. He said, maybe these guys are front runners. Maybe they're front runners. And that's tough to hear, because going into this season, you had certain goals that you wanted to attain. Yep. And for the most part, you did that. You won the division. Congratulations. But for whatever reason, every time around this time of the year, the bats seem to just go nowhere. They just disappear. And not only that, you talk about Topper did everything in his power to try to stave off this coldness, whatever you want to call it, staleness,
yep,
by having a simulated game, trying to incentivize it and things of that nature. But I'm going to tell you, it's. I had a lot of friends from Atlanta call last night, and it's like, hey, how that bye week work out for you?
Not well.
Not well at all.
But I don't think that's why they lost.
I'm not blaming it, but
yeah, I don't think that.
I don't think the bye week had anything to do with it.
But how are the Yankees doing? No, excuse me, the Dodgers. What are they looking like right now?
They're tied in their series. Well,
they're struggling a little bit.
No, their offense looks fine. They had a bad pitching staff going into the series. Just the Phillies had a hot and cold offense going into the series. The bye week. Well, hold on, because the week and the month leading up, was this offense blazing hot going into the playoffs? The bye week didn't cool them off.
Excuse me, have you done any Harvard studies? I've done a few on this show.
But they're all inconclusive.
But it's inconclusive. But there's some validity to it. I'm just saying. Have you?
No, they're
have
all
you,
inconclusive.
Kyle, have you done any Harvard studies?
I might have in my day. I'm a learned individual.
I have done zero Harvard studies.
I don't think that there's something to that. But when you talk about all I'm saying is this: that when you talk about what Brian Snicker had some genuine concerns about, and the Phillies kind of poo-pooed him.
No, well,
I mean, you know.
Well, because, no, I don't think there's any, saying. I don't think there's even any correlation there whatsoever. Like, the Braves had an historic offense going into that postseason, had a five-day layoff, and they might have a leg to stand on to say, that killed our momentum, or that hurt our offense going into the postseason.
Yeah.
We all knew, we watched it for 2 months, this offense is not that good. I mean, I know some of us had grand delusions of them putting up 6 runs a game.
I feel attacked
this season.
I feel attacked.
But we all knew the reality of this offense was that they go cold at the wrong times. They did this in the NLCS when they didn't have a bye last year.
Don't feel bad. I thought they were the best Philly team of all time. They fooled us all.
You guys are both idiots.
It's fine. I'll be an idiot, but you know what? At least I'm not delusional now. These guys sound delusional now. What are you going to do? It's baseball. Play better. Like, this group has gone from one that was beloved 2 years ago. Every time I hear the voices, I'm annoyed now. Like, if I have to hear Trey Turner tell me we get ourselves out, well, hey, dummy, stop getting yourself out. Like, if it's as easy as that, like, what are you talking about? You get yourself out. You've been doing it for 4 months. Stop. If it's that simple, to make it sound like, oh, well, if we just do this, we'll be fine. Well, hey, we're going to stop chasing because that's what we're going to do. No, you.
Yeah, that's the most egregious one.
You
Stop
know what?
Chasing.
The reality is this, and they don't want to accept it. Dombrowski doesn't want to accept it, and I don't know if we're going to accept it. They're not good enough. That's the reality. They've proven it now 3 times in the playoffs. They're not good enough. And Hugh, you brought up, and we're going to get to Rhea coming up, everyone's phone call. You brought up the Braves, right? I know it triggered Kyle, and now I'm triggered for a different reason, okay? Yeah. We're all triggered here. At least the Braves have a championship. They've struggled in the last couple years, but they got one.
Yeah.
Everyone rips on the Dodgers are failures in the postseason. And you could say it was the pandemic one. They have one. This group doesn't have one. So we can't, like, I almost feel like we sound ridiculous. Like, well, the Braves struggle, so the Dodgers do. We don't have anything with this group. All we have is all the money they make. That's it. We signed this guy, and you know what we're going to do 3 weeks from now? Go sign Juan Soto. Which they should, but like that's all we have. 215-592-9494. We'll get to more reaction next in the hour, 11 o'clock hour. What's bothering the most after the Phillies being eliminated? Rhea joins us next. We got a lot to react to. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.